Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit.
Hey, Colin, it's really great to play with you and your brother and Jonathan in Kevin Madison's ongoing rough night at the Three Feathers game. I hope we're able to finish the adventure and continue, because I have not... Well, I kind of have gone through the second adventure, but I made it my own. I kind of riffed from there, and then they entered into the Talibheim cycle. Well, it's called Trouble in Talibheim. It's a second edition adventure for Warhammer Fantasy, and then I never got to the rest. The book looks amazing. I hope we can work things out, and probably will answer. I know you sent me a question/post on my podcast, so I will answer it more diligently there. So I will talk to you soon.
Yes, folks, your ears are not deceiving you. I made a return to online roleplay. I'm absolutely delighted to finally be playing some Warhammer again. I had, a single session or two sessions with my brother running a game and really loved it. But other than that, it's a childhood memory for me of first edition. I was so enthusiastic on the day I called in, thanked him for playing, and you can hear that message on his show, and he talks a bit more about the session there as well. So if that's your bag, or in fact we're going to come onto it, this business of historical alternate or fictional history fiction, whatever you call it, and if that is your bag, Carl is your man. I've played in a great Invictus session, a campaign that he ran, he talked about, and sounds like he has fond memories of. In fact, I know he's got fond memories of it. He talks about it all the time. It was a really great adaptation for Cthulhu, where we played as a Roman legion. He talks about that a bit in his show that's referenced in his call-in there, and he's got a little bit more to talk about history, inspired by my mentioning of my little bit of light research into the Tudors. And I'll let Carl explain for himself.
I was going to call in anyway, Colin, just to talk about Warhammer Fantasy, but I jumped in because you mentioned Ruth Goodman. We love her, Amy and I. She has so many. I didn't know she had a book, but it makes sense. She is a reenactment scholar, a historian, published many things. But she has some great shows, not just on the Tudor period, but on the Edwardian period. Her and her colleagues do this Edwardian farm, this Tudor farm reenactment, where they do a year in the life of a farmer from that period. They do what it is like to work on a medieval castle. Have they done Georgian? They might have done Georgian as well, and they also did like World War I, which I guess is Edwardian, isn't it? Anyway, so they've done a whole host of these types of things, which I think is pretty cool. I think they did World War II. Anyway, there's a series, you can find it on the YouTubes, and they've actually recreated them. We saw them originally when they're kind of grainy, but then they've digitized it, you can see it better. So anyway, that's really cool, and I'll probably send you another call.
And this is why I love the to and fro of a call-in. Carl historically has picked out a number of shows that I've gone and looked up and got into. The one that springs to mind immediately is The Crown. There are more that I can't think of at the moment. Maybe The Last Kingdom might have been a recommendation from Carl. However, on this occasion, I am familiar with the farm series. And although I've never watched one from beginning to end, I don't think, I have watched quite a few episodes sprinkled across the timeline, but I didn't know about the castle one. So that is going to be my takeaway from this message. It is good to get these recommendations firsthand. It's kind of convenient for starters. And a lot of the folks that ring in have got an idea of what I'm into. Vance A, old buddy Vance, I played Black Hack with, member of the Pit Crew, often recommends books or did. I haven't heard from him from a while. Shout out to you, Vance, if you're still listening. And it's just really useful. Saves me time. I get a nice, honest review from folk that I respect and I value their opinion. So, well, it's a no-brainer. I'll be checking out the castle. And I'd sort of recognised the name on the book, but the penny hadn't fully dropped. And I was wondering if it was the same lady. Nice to get that confirmed as well. One of those things I was thinking to Google and never got round to. But this business of using history to inspire your games, in Carl's episode, Jason Hobbs calls in and mentions that Carl is a bit of a master at this, and I definitely agree. For me, although I haven't done it in a really big way, the verisimilitude that looking and reading around a subject brings to the session really helps me out when I'm kind of improvising. I like to have that, some of those big things right in my mind, and I read into the idea of how time was kept in medieval times. Where would they really have talked in hours? This come up again recently in a game of ICRPG, and it can seem a little bit pedantic, but it just knowing some of this, for me personally, enriches the game and helps me out and gives me some constraints that help with the whole process of design and creativity. And I do enjoy this real world anchor, if you like. Perhaps part of the enjoyment I've been getting from my read-throughs of Dragon Warriors is the fact that it seems to be in this kind of quite believable sort of, in a strange way, believable sort of world. It's got that European, UK vibe that I'm familiar with, and I find it real easy to visualise the setting. Sometimes I struggle. I'm particularly bad when it comes to sort of crazy big demons and weird planes and dimensions. I'm fine to play in such places, but for creation and running the game, I don't feel like I do such a great job in those types of settings. Another good example for giving me context and inspiration, I'm still re-watching Robin of Sherwood, and as I'm watching it, there was a scene, they go to Lichfield, and the village watch, the town watch are brought in, and they are this ragtag bunch with just like farm implements as weapons, and it made me think, you know, I could perhaps do a better job with my town and village watch. It, typically in my imagination, they're like they tend to be a bit more man at arms and more like the sheriff's men in Nottingham. Probably over-equipped for most places. They're kind of like, look like Normans of the day with full chain armour and shields, and they've kind of got the colours of the sheriff. And really, that's not going to be the case in a majority of places, and a lot of the time the PCs are just going to run into some kind of yahoos, jumped up squires and stuff, freemen with a vested interest in keeping law and order, and yeah, they're not going to be all tooled up and armoured. So it just watching some of this stuff brings it back to me. But I like the idea that you've got all the historic events that you can draw upon. You don't have to start from scratch all the time coming up with a plot. You can just delve into history and going full circle back to Warhammer, of course. I think part of the reason why I'm enjoying that is is that kind of that familiar feeling, not just because it's kind of where I live, the UK and the European. I've been to a lot of historical sites, I've visited places, and I've played the games and engaged with the lore. So all that familiarity at many different levels just enriches the game and makes me feel comfortable, and I feel like I can do a better job of role playing and all that type of stuff. And they say the devil's in the detail, just understanding things like Tudor people would often have their dinner at 10 o'clock or the equivalent of 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I just didn't know that. I had no appreciation of that. And what a kind of a rigmarole and ceremony that could in fact be. The detail of their dress and their clothing, it's all stuff that you can throw into conversation, perhaps when your online GM is switching between maps, you get a little bit of dead air, you can chuck a few facts in there and hopefully make viewing for the audience a bit more entertaining, and of course the main priority, the players you're gaming with. But there you go, really enjoying being back at it, of course, with my old buddy Carl there. And big thanks to Carl for calling that stuff in and the recommendations and his ongoing support as a member of the Pit Crew. So check him out. He's got a great podcast and a particularly interesting Twilight 2000 campaign. And he does a mean recap. You learn a lot about the various games just from listening to those recaps. So once again, cheers, Carl. Missed a few sessions of our home game ICRPG recently. There's been a series of bank holidays, people couldn't make it, we've done other things, kept the sessions going, but not actually got an RPG to the table. Consequently, a few of us were feeling a little bit rusty. The tale had lost a little bit of momentum, so we needed one of those kind of catch-up sessions. We sorted out some bookkeeping and some inventory. Took a fairly slow-paced set. It was a fairly slow-paced session, a relaxed pace rather than slow, I think I would more accurately describe it as. And I got to thinking, reflecting on the session, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's the whole hobby thing, catching up with old DM Ricky, hearing about his exploits and recapping over the story so far. And we had a couple of things we needed to iron out. With a rules-like game system, as I've talked about before, you still have situations come up in game that need some kind of resolution. And without a set of rules that cover every eventuality, it's inevitable that you end up fleshing out some of this detail as you go along. And it occurred to me, do you know, I actually quite enjoy this process. And with a group that are open-minded, you've got a level of trust between players and the GM. We're all understanding and moving in a similar direction in terms of our expectations for the game. We want an entertaining session with a developing story, some nice action, and when all is said and done, we want to create this sort of like imagery in our minds and have a memorable tale to tell or to recall and recount at the end of it. So, what am I going on about? What am I waffling on about? Well, because we've all got an interest in games, game design and how things work, every now and then we'll get into a bit of a conversation. The example in this case being how some characters had leapt to safety in a collapsing structure. One trapped and left behind, and the others plunged some distance into a pool below.
And we had to figure out what was going to happen about holding the breath, how would wearing plate armour affect a person in the water, how quickly do we think they're going to sink. And just, it occurs to me that I actually quite enjoyed this process of putting an idea to the group, us discussing it, everybody chipping in a kind of a their thoughts, and then and resolving it, like a little bit of spontaneous rule design, game design. Now, for some people, I imagine there's nothing worse. Cries of the broken immersion, the tragic broken immersion. And whilst I totally understand that, at the same time, as we're discussing this conundrum and describing what's happening to the character and how we might resolve it, I can't help but feel that I'm getting drawn into the world and really engaging with what's going on. And we're all kind of really engaging and trying to think, how can we somehow make this cool, and what's fair, and what's going on. And it really brought home to me that the G in role-playing game, you know, the game in your RPG. And it's easy to sort of lose sight of that, I think, sometimes, and the emphasis is on the role or the playing and having fun. But that game, it's a little bit like if you take the dice rolling away, when some people like to roll dice and like to see that random dice factor. I think each part of it, for me, has got this value, the playing, the role playing, the game, the workings, everything that's going on, the mechanisms. It is such an interesting hobby. And perhaps if you was a novice GM, or you hadn't played RPGs very much, I imagine you might be distraught that a session would almost get held up whilst you work out what's going on with these characters in the water. But I didn't get the sense that anybody felt that, and I just thought it was an interesting reflection that I would share with you folks. Oh, and I would say, as to follow on slightly, the trying to do justice to the rule system, so you can come up with these ideas. And I immediately sort of went for this idea of, you know, how long do we think we could hold up our breath? And then I thought, you know, in the spirit of ICRPG, we really need to abstract this. So we abstracted it down into rounds around the table. We also considered, well, what is the difficulty? Is it, you know, is it easy? Is it hard? What is the target number? I think we went for 10, because previously when the characters were out in this area, it was a 10, and then they went into the temple where we upped it to 12. Well, now they'd escaped, they'd dropped in the water, we made it back to the 10, and was considering all this stuff along with the idea of removing this armor. We want to engage with the idea of effort and hearts, so it became a task with 2 hearts if you wanted to try and unbuckle this armor. Using basic effort, it'd be a d4 of effort each turn, and we went for 2 hearts against a dexterity check. Or you could use weapon stroke tool effort against 1 heart to cut the straps, so cutting through the straps. That seemed in character for the game. There's a bit more to it than that. I'm struggling to remember. Oh, we did the breath based on everybody gets 1 round holding their breath. You get another round for each bonus +1 for your constitution. And then after that, you just make constitution rolls, checks against the 10. If you fail, you kind of black out. Seemed fine, seemed relatively elegant, considering there was, you know, a few factors and complications that we had to kind of figure out. Just an interesting experience and kind of really enjoyable unravelling all that and coming up with a solution at the table. And just a different sort of style of play, I guess. What is that? Kind of, it's just a collaboration, rules collaboration. Not something I've heard much talk about quite often. This is time spent flicking through rules, trying to find rules in books that I know can be quite frustrating. Because you're looking for something you can't find. Whereas this seems less frustrating because it's just a creative act that you're doing together, and it's just another part of the game where you're exploring an idea together rather than in the fiction, or well, part of it in the fiction, but also in the mechanisms of the game.
And just before I hand over to my father-in-law Frank and his band to play us out, I've got one more question. How do harpies reproduce?
And that, as they say, is a wrap. Big thanks goes out to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.